Oh, hallelujah. I just feel ministered to. I just feel the presence of the Lord tonight. I just wanted to lie there on the floor and be ministered to all night. But I had you in mind. Hallelujah. I just feel the Lord just ministering to my heart. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just open up tonight. Let the Holy Spirit minister to your needs. Minister to Him tonight. I'd like to have music ministry come at this time. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yay, my people! I am here! This night for you!
Would you stand, please? Oh, makayala patoy solo potia sa kapala patikia la pakayala. Ito yala patia sa la 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 kia lo poto ko yolo potaya. He salamato yolo po kia la pato yolo po. Oh, pataya pa la 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 kia lo pataya la pati si kile yala lo po kia la mataya la mas solo matiki. Oh, madalaha ni kiolopo na kia salalalale kiolopo kayalale. Ni toyolo, 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 poti. Oh, nayala, 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 pali kia salale. Oh, nayala, 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 He no yolo na yala ni ki yala no yolo ni ki ki li ka la li si. Hina yolo no yolo no yolo mali ala na yala no yola ki li kolopoti. Hina la la li kolopoti kasili kalalahi. Father in heaven, tonight we come recognizing that the gates of hell have arisen against the church of the living God. We recognize, O Lord, that demonic spirits have invaded the land. Even this nation, which has been built upon the foundation of God, we recognize even in this hour that the foundations are crumbling, for the nation has given up God as a whole. And, O Lord, we recognize the enemy has come in and has flooded God's people, O Lord, with every sort of occult and sin. But we recognize that the blood of Jesus Christ has set us free. We recognize that Thou dost stand supreme. Thou hast defeated death, hell, and the grave. And we recognize that in Thee, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. And we take the promise of God that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ.
That's right, Lord.
Lord, we don't come lightly against these fallen angels. We do not, Lord, come mockingly. We do not come in derision. We do not come, O Lord, not respecting the power and authority that they have. O Lord, for they have not lost the rank and authority, though they have lost the position in You. But we come on the blood-stained way. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, on the authority of the Word of God Almighty. And we come, O Lord, triumphant. We come with boldness. We come with the power of the living God. For the enemy shall be defeated experientially in our lives. He shall be cast out of every Christian. He shall lose his place. He shall be defeated in the sons of God, and there shall come the manifestation of the sons of God of light. Yea, they shall be born as one out of due season. They shall come forth in the last hour. And although the church has travailed long, giving forth wind, yet in the last day, saith the Lord, the church shall bring forth fruit from the womb, born there, begotten there by the Spirit of the Lord. And this child shall grow, yea, and do exploits, for the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him. For he shall not look unto himself, but he shall look unto God, and he shall be fortified with the power of the Most High. And he shall go forth across the breadth of the land. Yea, and he shall be a great company, saith the Lord. Yea, and he shall speak marvelous things. Yea, he shall speak things that he has not known hitherto. His mind shall be girded by the Lord, and his mind shall be furnished by the Lord, and his strength shall be furnished by the Lord. And he shall be equipped by the Lord God Almighty. And he shall go forth to do exploits. He shall go forth to turn the hearts of the children back to the Father. For lo, God shall use him in a unique way. Yea, he shall go forth to set the sons of God held captive free. Yea, he shall go forth without fear. Yea, in a nation that has bowed to Satan, shall stand upon his feet and look upward and glorify the Lord. For yea, the Spirit of the Lord does dwell in him. Yea, and the Spirit of the Lord does send him forth, for it is the last hour. Yea, and the Spirit of the Lord shall give him that which to speak. And many shall be turned unto the Lord their God, and shall shine as the stars in the brightness, and shall glorify and magnify the Lord of heaven. And the power of the enemy shall be broken in the land, and God's people shall be united. They shall go forth in strength and in power with a new victory and with a new song. Yea, and the new song shall be heard throughout the land. And it shall be as the sound of jubilee. It shall be as the sound of many trumpets blowing forth a new truth, a new day. For God's people shall rise up out of the ashes, and they shall spring forth, saith the Lord. They shall grow as plants out of a dry ground. Yea, with great flourishing, they shall grow and bud and blossom and bear fruit. Yea, and the Lord shall be pleased with this harvest, for it is of the Lord. Yea, 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 saith the Lord God, the hour is near when I shall do exploits in my people. Yea, saith the Lord God, come before me, empty yourselves out before me that I may fill you with my own power. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not be able to do this ministry that I have given thee in thine own power. For yea, it shall only be accomplished by my wisdom and knowledge and power. Yea, my love shall conquer the hearts of men held captive by evil forces. Yea, only my love and power can accomplish this thing whereunto I send thee. Wait upon the Lord thy God until you shall be endued with a new power from on high. For yea, I will fill you with mine own knowledge, saith the Lord, and it shall compass the land, and it shall compass the sea. Yea, and those on foreign soil shall know the truths that has been hidden for a long time, for my spirit shall bring truth to the ends of the earth before I return, saith the Lord. Hear ye, my people. The enemy has wrought great designs in your life. But yea, I shall break his designs. I shall raise up a people the like of which the world has not seen. Yea, and I shall equip them. I shall armor them with mine own light. And they shall be children of light, saith the Lord. And whithersoever they goeth, my light shall shine forth from them in that darkness, and behold, that light shall draw many unto me, for I will yet be glorified, saith the Lord God. Walk carefully before me, for the enemy of your soul hath desired thee. Yea, and he doth work mightily, even at this hour, against thee. Yea, and his forces driven back, rally again for a new thrust. Yea, I say unto thee, watch carefully. Be on guard. Be on thy knees before me, that you might receive my enlightenment. For yea, I shall forewarn you what the enemy shall design in dark places, saith the Lord. And he shall not prosper in his design against thee. For I shall tell thee openly what he shall plot in secret. And you shall defeat him and draw him down. Yea, and his power shall be broken in thy life. And thou shalt do great things for my name's sake. For my spirit shall be upon thee, saith the Lord God. Yea, yea, the world shall know that thou art a peculiar people, chosen of the Lord your God. For they have never seen the like. Yea, and they shall marvel when they shall see my power. But oh, my children, oh, I cannot invest my power in thee until thou dost give thy life wholly unto me. Till I am sovereign in thy life, wait upon me, for yea, my plan for thee is soon to be accomplished. The hour is near, the time is late. Wait thou upon the Lord in all sobriety. Yea, the Lord is speaking to thee this night. This is a solemn hour. For I would take thee, lead thee into new places. Wait before me, saith the Lord, that I may direct thee.
Humble yourself.
I just want to explain to you that may not understand what happened just then. The sister felt to give a message in other tongues, and she gave it forth. And she felt a little hesitant, but she still felt the anointing, and she felt it incumbent upon someone to give a message, and she still felt the anointing and thought perhaps, well, maybe she had it, but you could tell by the hesitancy that even she knew that it was questionable. So I stepped up and I think gave her some relief by letting her know that she didn't have the message, so she didn't feel constrained to go on. And so I just began to pray in other tongues, and you prayed with me. Just began to pray that the Lord would have His way. I didn't know what the Lord wanted to do. I thought perhaps He might bring forth another tongues, another interpretation, or whatever. And as I began to pray, the Spirit of the Lord began to anoint me in the prayer. And as the anointing increased, then the revelation of the Lord came upon me for a prophecy. It was not an interpretation of the tongues. And just broke off, just the prayer just slid right into prophecy as I felt that as I was praying and God was anointing my prayer, it all of a sudden, then, instead of going this way, the information began coming this way. And I don't feel that we can afford to take the words of the Almighty God given to us in our hour lightly. I think if the eternal God would bend down to speak to us His mind in this hour, that we should pay very careful heed to every single thing. I think it's a very serious thing to have the responsibility of obeying the Word of God. When God tells you specifically what He wants, there's a grave responsibility, because failure to take that seriously and walk in it can lead to a disastrous loss of life and power from God. He'll still love you. He'll forgive you. He'll still work with you and do what He can through you. And He won't give up on you. And He will not be through with you. But He will not be able to do the same thing, at least not in this hour. We dare not take God lightly. We must hear the message, hide that away, and begin to move toward that end. If I would get up and tell you, I want you to do, I know what God's mind is, and I want you to do exactly what I tell you to do, and want everybody to stand who will promise to me before God you'll do it, you would all stand. Well now, if I would say to you, do what the Lord has said tonight, would you do it? You say, but what has He said? What He has said is that when the end time, this is the last hour, there's a work to be done, and we need to be careful, be on our faces before God and seek Him. We cannot just live prayerless lives, prayerless, careless lives, as though the world's going to always go on and God's not going to use us. We've got to yet become something that we're not. There's yet a job to be done worldwide that we cannot do in our own strength. We're going to have His knowledge. This is not something to go to church and trust the pastor and the elders to take care of. This is a personal thing for every one of us to be in a place where God can teach us and build us. I mean, you have to have your sights a lot higher than what your immediate capabilities are. Your short-range capabilities of what you can see for yourself in this 3 or 4 or 5 years has got nothing to do with how God is going to use you when He begins to pour out His Spirit in great ways. And God empties you and does things through you. You cannot use your own vision. You must take the vision that God has given. You must trust in that. You must hear what He says. And you must believe that God is going to use you in some very important way. I don't mean important in the eyes of man, but important in the eyes of God. Something much more profound than you can understand, with an anointing you've never even begun to realize you could ever have, with a God-given ability, with a knowledge and revelation, with power, being freed from these spirits, in a work and in a revival like you've never even believed that ever could happen. This is what place you've got to be in. This means if you're going to take this word seriously tonight, you're going to increase. A lot of you, of course, are spending so many hours praying right now. Some of you are praying 4 or 5 hours a day even. But I don't mean you, but I mean those that are not. And you that do and get delivered, that means you don't just quit your prayer life because you're delivered. That means you begin to move that in intercession for the body. That means you begin to minister to others. I feel that every one of you should be praying daily for your pastor, deliverance workers, elders. Satan will contest them hard, and you need their leadership. And they need to have the fresh revelations of God. We need much more power in the upper echelon. We need more miracles, more gifts of the Spirit, more revelation, more discernment. And I ask the question, are you supplying all the ammunition necessary that they may have it? Have you been praying diligently that your leaders may have this? And these that are ministering to you, have you been praying that God will equip them? And if He hasn't, maybe it's not their fault. Maybe it's your fault because you have not prayed that God will give it to them. Maybe God is waiting for you to care enough for your leaders that you will pray, stand behind them. Let God lift them up into high places so they can begin to do things. I would like to ask you as pastor that you will begin to seriously take time every day. I'm not talking about spending 2 or 3 hours. I mean, every day you come and you begin to ask the Lord to equip them, to work, to help them, to build them up, to keep them from the evil one that would come against the government. Because the devil knows that if he can knock off those in high places, he's got those under. And you need to be praying daily. You need to be praying daily, one for another. Every day your prayer should be, Lord, help this body of believers. Lord, help those that are weak in the faith. Strengthen those that are going through trials right now and tribulations and difficulties. Those that are battling demons. You need to pray, Lord, help us all, Lord. Send the angels of God. You need to say, Lord, give this church power with God. Equip us with gifts. Lord, move in miracle power throughout this assembly. Begin to use hundreds of deliverance workers. Begin to give miracle power to hundreds of your people in the pews. You need to say, Lord, help the people to have a new freedom in the Spirit and worship. Help this church to burst forth with songs in the Spirit and a new life, new power in gifts and in love. You need to say, Lord, begin to move the people for evangelism. Lord, draw in the souls across the country that you want for Bible college. Are you caring that whether they come for Bible college and get trained? The Lord says, pray ye that the Lord of the harvest will thrust out workers into the vineyard. Are we praying that He will thrust out workers into the vineyard? He said, pray for the rain in the time of the latter rain. Are you praying for that? Or is the only thing you're praying for that you won't keep sinning? You got to get beyond that stage and set your sight on the goal. And while you pray for that, I'm not saying leave off praying for that. But a lot of the prayer for that can be shortened if you just take a stand on that and then move on into higher places in God. I know it's we're human beings and things thrust upon our lives and we get busy with other things and we forget and so many things happen. It's hard to hold everything in our mind and it's hard to have all the sermons pile up and hold them all and all this. And yet, we have a responsibility. Come to the cross. Get delivered. Pray. Walk in faith. Listen only to the Word. I mean, you say, well, there's so much. That's right. That's why we're saying we're going to have to run. We cannot just stay in a baby stage and say, well, I'm just not used to that much meat. Brother, what are you going to do when the Jordan overflows? If footmen will you, how can you run with the horses? We are going to have to begin to move fast. We're going to have to learn fast. We're going to have to grow up fast. We're going to have to begin to move in ways that we've never moved. We're going to have to set new patterns for your life. You need to come right home and say, all right, this goes. This is the way we're going to live. We're going to change that. We're going to add this. These things go out. And we're prioritizing our life. This is our life. Not a legalistic system, but a system for spiritual life and strength, maximum efficiency principle. And begin to say, from now on, I only believe the word for me. I take it and I walk by it. From now on, I have this list of things, so I won't forget. I'm going to begin doing these things, and I'm going to diligently. We need to get out of the apathy, lethargy, walking in the swamps under the cloud like zombies in the world that knows nothing but an old pattern of the old life that we should have shucked a long time ago. We have got to come to the cross and walk with God, and we can't be months in doing it. We need to rise up, appropriate faith. We need to seriously take the word. See, this is a day right now because of the pressures of the enemy and the move of God, the things that are happening, and the speed in which we've got to grow, that no man can walk as an island to himself. This is a day when we have got to, as the Bible says, submit one unto another. And we have got to admonish one another, the scripture says. And we have got to discern the Lord's body. This is a day where we walk together. We do things together. This is a day where we say, I need your help. I give out and give out and give out and give out. I have been feeling marvelous. I have been feeling so much strength. I have been feeling so positive. I have been feeling so much victory. I have been feeling so steady. I have been feeling so good. And I give out and I give out. I need to take in. And I need your help. And I came here tonight, and I prayed, and as I was beginning, I was just praying for a while, and sister was praying for me, and I was praying. I thought, oh, this is good. Just good to be praying like this. And then after a while, you know, I began to sing a little bit, and I began to enter into that, and it was all right. And if any bondage of tax or confusion, I felt good in my soul, but I felt like I wasn't really going anyplace. And then pretty soon some sisters came, began to minister. I said, well, I'm just going to need to be laid down and get ministered. I know what I need. I need to be infused. I just need God to give, you know, the cup's been tipped upside down. I just need more in there again now. And they began to minister. And that light came on so fast. And I felt like I just want to lay here all night long. And just let them minister. Just keep pouring it in. I thought, oh, this is so good. This is what I need. And I recognized, I said, well, I'm going to let it go on for a few minutes. I've got to get up then. And I did that. And see, we need each other. I needed them. And they need me. And we need one another. And I need your prayers. How do I know I need them? Because Paul said, brethren, pray for me. And if they needed, he needed them to pray for him, I need you to pray for me. I need your prayers. And if you don't, you rob yourself. And you rob me. And then you rob God. And then you rob the people out there. We all go together. When we move into praise, we can't afford to sit around a lot of people like this and just sing from the throats. We are workers with God together. We are one pipeline all hooked together. We can't be disjointed. We have got to be in a place where demons have no ability to say, oh, well, I got half the crowd here tonight. You know, I got half of them under my spell. Nah, abracadabra, sleep, you're tired, very sleepy. You are distracted. Mind wander. Apathy, lethargy. We can't have half of it under his control, or the other half is trying to praise the Lord. There needs to be an uninhibited flow of the Spirit. All demons need to leave this place and have to say, no use sticking around right now. Might as well go down the street and look for somebody else to work on, because that's a horrible place to be, and I can't do anything with anybody. We need to have the Holy Spirit just taking them and just moving it along. I mean, we are living a time. I'm serious about this thing. Your Christian life and commitment involves your total life. And you cannot go out on the job and hide your light and come back in here and hold your Bible high. I mean, God knows. He's in heaven. I may not know, but he knows. And besides, we can tell the difference. We know, you know, in a general sense. We don't know individually, but we can tell when people respond to the move of God and the Holy Spirit is pleased and He can take them and do things. We have got to recognize this is a life. It's a commitment. It is a total understanding that we live and move in faith. And we have got, every single man and woman has got a responsibility to begin to move in a relationship with God. And not say, well, I never, you know, to me church was kind of like this. That is not what we're saying. The body of Christ has got to move on. What was good for last month, in fact, what we had last month wasn't good for last month. We just got by with it. You know, we're like the U.S. government. We're in debt. We need to move on and gain new ground every single month. We have got to have continual growth. And I'm putting it to you as your leader. Let's move in God. Are you behind me? God bless you. Thank you. Oh, how about the rest of you? How many are behind me, miss? How many are really behind me? Thank you.
I received the essence of that tongue that went forth, and though the anointing is lifted from me, I want to give you what the essence was, and that is that the Lord is saying that we have got to be pure vessels for Him to use in this move of God, because He's going to use vessels that are pure and vessels that are humbled before Him and vessels that know God and have experiences in God. And God desires to give us experiences in Him that are the counterparts, if I can use that term, to the experience or the demonic manifestations that we've had in our lives, but that we're not going to get those unless we will humble ourselves and wait before God, because He wants to give us many different experiences in Him. But we're going, and that way we're going to get to really know the Spirit of God and know the moving of the Spirit of God, because God is going to use the people that know Him and know the moving of His Spirit and are sensitive to the move of His Spirit and know the difference between His voice and the beckoning of the enemy and could discern the difference, and yet are humble. Recognizing that they're totally, totally dependent upon God, and no matter how much wisdom they might accumulate, that will never take the place of that intimate, close relationship and fellowship with the Lord, and that has to be a continual thing in their lives. And unless we set our lives in order and have a pattern of waiting upon God and receiving from Him, then we're not going to be able to withstand the ministry later, because we're not going to have that relationship built and we won't be dependent upon Him, and then we'll find ourselves out there in our own strength and we won't be able to perform the task. And so I feel that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking expressly to the ones that have been delivered, and even if you've only gotten a partial deliverance, now that experience, you need to begin to have experiences in God now. You need to begin to really get to know His Spirit and to know the reaction of His Spirit and to know the manifestation of angels through you, God's angels through you in those areas, and let God come and fill you up and put yourself in a position of worship and praise and humbling yourself before Him, that He might give you a holy visitation from His kingdom.
All that matters is that we trust Him. All that matters is that we trust Him. All that matters is that we trust Him. Come, brother, sister, let us trust the Lord. All that matters. Trust Him, all that matters.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. What are the services going to be like when everyone gets totally free and the glory of the Lord comes down? My, I tell you, everything's going to be different. Oh, what services. I don't know how long they're going to last. I don't know if we'll have services every day, all day long, every day. I tell you what may happen. What may happen. My, I don't know what may happen. What may happen. It'll be something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, music minister. Hallelujah. I'd like to have the ushers come at this time. Receive the evening offering. For a short time this evening, because we're going to have time with some other testimonies later, if you've had a really wonderful deliverance and you haven't testified about it, and God has really cleaned house in your life, and you feel that you have an anointing, an ability to share it, and to open up your heart and bring it forth, and we want you to come right now and share it. And just a little bit later, I'm going to ask the deliverance team ministers as to any one of them to share what God has been doing in the deliverance services. And as we talk this morning in the Sunday school hour on these manifestations and the various things that were happening and learning from this, we're going to expand that tonight and give you opportunity, the deliverance team leaders and myself, opportunity to talk some more on these things so we can see what is happening, what's being said. We learn some perspectives that will help our lives and help us our faith and encourage us to get deliverance and come against the enemy. And so you can be ready for that. Go right ahead.
God has begun a wonderful, wonderful restoration work in my life. And I'm so glad. I can hardly stand it. I'm so grateful to the wonderful keeping power of the Lord. 6 years ago, I don't know how many of you remember, but in a Sunday evening service, the Lord spoke over me, and it was not only a message over me, but it was for the entire congregation, and Barbara shared that later, but God said that He was going to make me a transparent vessel. And the move of God at that time was such that, well, we knew that we would be transparent, but we didn't really have all the knowledge and the move of God that we have now and with the background and all of that. But anyway, I was so delighted. But anyway, God said that He was going to make me a transparent vessel, and I desired that so much. I wanted to be, that I could be read like a book by the Lord, and that His Spirit would be so full and so free once again in my life. And the Lord said that He would do that, but it was for every single one of us. And I wondered how that was going to come about. I thought, oh, this will just be wonderful. I'll be basking in the presence of the Lord, and God will just be cleaning this vessel out, and we'll be making it anew, and pretty soon, just one day, I'll be transparent, and God will be seen through me in a wonderful way that He's never been able to be seen through me. And it didn't happen that way. Devastation started. breaking downs in my heart, great hurts, great dark times in my life of real soul searching, where God just started bringing me to the cross, really, in so many areas, and so unexpectedly. And the things that came, many of them, like I said, there was great hurt personally, and with important people in my life. And but anyway, at the time, I thought of these as trials, yes, but seemed more like devastation to me. You know, you can't even think of it as count it all joy. Let's see, this isn't a trial. This is utter destruction, it seems. But it wasn't really, because all along, the Word of God has been so clear in my mind, and not that there weren't times of discouragement and that sort of thing, but God has been so faithful all along. And I remember there were times when I I struggled with how in the world do I count this all joy. It was totally impossible in the natural and in my own self. But God started turning all that around in messages at different times. Anyway, God brought all this to fruition. And a year ago, this spring, when the deliverance move started, I just desired this with all of my heart. Well, anyway, God started breaking up the ground, and one thing after the other, and sermons, and the revelation that Jesus didn't have a conscience. I remember my husband and I discussing that. I don't think we had been so excited about anything for so long. You know, my husband's driving the car and reading his notes as we drive down the road because we were so excited, because God began to unfold in our minds that this was a stepping stone for us to draw close to God and have a new relationship with Him without, that we could be drawn close to Him in a wonderful way, that He could totally bridge the gap, that we could really drink and live by the tree of life, not just struggling with principles as wonderful as they are, and they're the keeping thing, but that Jesus alone and His life can be breathing into us, and we can be eating of Him all the time. And that was a wonderful milestone in both of our lives. I think I can speak for my husband. And anyway, along the line, God has continued to do different things. And then recently, when I was prayed for the first time, I haven't been prayed for again, but I'm expecting to be, with Scott and Bonnie Hartley, God did some wonderful things. And as I just gave these things over to the Lord and rebuked different things out of my life, the presence of the Lord was so real. God was manifesting Himself way more than anything else. As we prayed, they just went. You know, all I could think of was just, oh, these things are going, and the Lord was right there. And one of the things that impacted me so greatly was we talked about the spirit of hurt, and Scott said, well, let's pray about that. And so we did. And well, first of all, he said, well, now think way back, like, of, you know, hurts from your parents or your father or your mother and all these things. And God did a significant work in me just through this very thing, that I couldn't think of any hurts from my parents, from my father, from my mother. And inside, since that time, I've wept because how grateful I am. Because I had a wonderful father and was a wonderful example in our home. And he was the leader of our family. And my mother was a submissive wife and a godly example. They were not spirit-filled, but she was a wonderful example. And that did a wonderful work in me, the fact that I hadn't experienced all the devastation that so many young people, and everyone's been testifying that they didn't, you know, their dad did this or their mother did that. And God did a wonderful thing in me since that time, just because of seeing that I had not experienced that. I am eternally grateful. But anyway, now I got sidetracked a little bit. But anyway, God did a wonderful work. And since that time, after this spirit of hurt was gone and many other things, God just began flooding my soul. And a few days after that, while praying for a sister, I was praying for her, and then pretty soon she began praying for me. And this was the thing that was so wonderful. I equated with Earl Thurner's testimony Friday night, because the restoration process had begun long before that, but it was just like put the stamp that God had just come down and began just flooding me. We're just feeling God. And God just revealed so clearly in my mind how much of that had been lost, how very subtly years ago, through misconceptions and trials, tests, whatever it was, I don't even know all that was involved, but I was robbed of so many experiences in the Lord, very subtly in my mind. And I never would have known that had I just talked about it in the natural, but this aspect in my life had been robbed because of things in the past and traps that I had been in, even though I was out of those traps basically, but how they had been come in, and the enemy then had been allowed, and through my own letting the devil do that, he had come in and had robbed these wonderful experiences in the Lord, and God started opening this up that I had to be experiencing him. I experienced everything else I did. I experienced food. I experienced love. I experienced all these things in life. But where were my experiences in God? And it was like a revelation that I had to be experiencing him. And from that time on, the Spirit of the Lord has just started to well up and to well up. That restoration is happening in my life, in the depths of my soul, in my very person, in my inner man, in my relationship with the Lord. I feel like healing. In fact, that day as we were praying, I just poured out, Lord, you're healing me. You're healing my soul. You're healing my spirit. You're healing my relationship with you. You're healing everything. Thank you, Lord. That's all I can say. And now I feel transparent. The ministerial professionalism I feel is so broken down through these last 6 years. Who cares? You know, who cares what you look like or you feel like? And I really wasn't conscious of all of those things anyway, but the ministerial professionalism or something that was kept me businesslike and whatever is just so broken down. Hallelujah. Oh, brothers and sisters, I have such... Oh, brothers and sisters, I have such a testimony of deliverance in my life. And you know, I sat down there tonight and I told the Lord, I want to share my testimony of what Jesus has done in my life. But then this fear gripped me and this demon told me that I was ashamed, that I should feel ashamed of the things that I've held on to for 4 years. And you know, brothers and sisters, Friday, I got delivered entirely of something that a hurt that came into my life, and that hurt came from a divorce that I went through, and these things that I've held on to, oh God has shown me that they weren't things that I liked, that they weren't things of me, but they were demons. And you know, Earl gave an exhortation one night of just coming to deliverance services, to lay aside everything else that would come in our lives, you know, that would cause us to not be interested in what was going on here. And I told my little girl, I talked to her one night, and you know, if I'm not working, I spend all my time with her. You know, I would put aside fellowships, and I would just feel this guilt to spend as much time with Amy as I could, but when he spoke that night, I realized there were things in my life I was sick of. I was not willing to have those things in my life any longer. And I took her aside and I said, Amy, you and I are not going to spend as much time together because I am going to pray. I made a decision that night that when I wasn't working and things, you know, I just set aside everything else and I started coming to these deliverance meetings. And I made a decision that I was going to meet God and I was going to get to know what it was like to have a personal relationship with Jesus, to have a love relationship with Jesus, that I didn't need to walk around at work and have bitterness in my heart or resentment towards people that loved worldly things. And you know, as I came to these services for the first month or so, it just seemed like God really wasn't doing a work, but I made up commitment to the Lord that I was going to come to these deliverance services. And little by little, I knew something was starting to happen. And at first, the biggest thing that happened is I would react to people at work, and I wanted to be a good testimony to those people.
But being in the jewelry business, it seems like there's such a worldly attitude towards those people, possessions, and customers that I work with, you know, and sell to. I felt like, oh, Lord, I don't want to sell things to them that would cause a burden, and I depend on sales, and I just pray, and I say, Lord, only allow me to sell to people that can afford it. I don't want to ever sell anybody that's going to be a burden to them. And the Lord has blessed me with people that I've been able to even have the opportunity of giving my testimony to them, and that it wouldn't be a financial burden on them. And God has just blessed me with sales. You know, at times I just depend on the Lord. I don't care about selling myself or anything else, but if they have a need. But anyway, I want to get away from that and give the glory to the Lord. He has delivered me. He has delivered me from something that I never thought I would ever get delivered from, and that was hurt from my marriage. And I felt so ashamed that I couldn't get delivered from this thing. I felt so ashamed that I couldn't get free from the divorce. And I know there's brothers and sisters out here that have gone through a divorce and that are still holding hurts and resentments in them. But I want to tell you that God is able to deliver. He is able to deliver. He has shown me things that I had in my life that I don't need. He has shown me that they're not me. And as he has taken things, one night when I was back in the prayer room and he delivered me from a spirit of hate, as it was going, I just said, Lord, I want to have a love relationship with you, Lord. As this thing goes, Lord, just give me that love relationship with you. Oh, and he has. He's given me such a love relationship with him. I can come in to pray and click right into the Spirit of God and just allow him to show me things in my life that he wants to deal with, things that are not, they're not of me, and they're not of what he would want me to have. And I can come against him, and I can rebuke him in the name of Jesus, and I can feel a freedom. He's given me the ability to just have a heart for the people, to pray for them and encourage them. And you know, the other night as I came to service, I shared with a couple of brothers, and I said, have you been able to come to any of the deliverance services? You know, and I was really grieved in my heart. I can really honestly say I don't judge them, but the excuses they gave really saddened my heart. Brothers and sisters, come to the deliverance services. Don't allow the devil to rob you of what Jesus wants to give you. Don't allow these crazy excuses to come in, because it's wonderful to be free from things that you've carried around in your life. God has given me such a heart. Such a heart for the people. Praise his name.
These last testimonies are going to have to be kind of short for time reasons.
God is able. I'll make this very short, and this is addressed primarily to you people that haven't been into deliverance services yet, because the devil's been lying to you that you won't get delivered, that God won't do it for you. I was laying down on that beautiful red carpet a couple of weeks ago, and God had delivered me of several things. And there were these things still inside me that said that they were strong men, too strong for us. And I thank God that the team leader picked up on that and came right back and threw it right back in their faces and says, let's begin to pray about it. And in the back of my mind was this thought, well, here goes a 4 or 5 hour knockdown, drag out battle. But then the thought came in my mind, Jesus has paid for it, I claim it. He's already paid for it, I claim it. Cash the check. I just started saying it. That battle lasted about 3 minutes, and they were gone. And then a wonderful thing happened. I really appreciate the Lord for this. One of the sisters had a vision. And it showed these dogs running away with their tails between their legs and this angel just kind of shooing them along, you know. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. If you have any doubts of what God can do, get rid of those doubts. God can do it. Come down. Get delivered. Don't wait. Take the advantage of this. It's precious. and it's life-lasting.
Brothers and sisters, all my life as I was growing up, my whole family, they're all alcoholics and stuff, but this last Thursday I came to the prayer meeting and I told Leonard I had to be delivered, and I'm sure it was just frustration, a few other things, but God revealed that it was the spirit of alcohol in my life, and this thing would come to me and just tell me it was going to destroy me and make me want to do things, and I would bring my body into submission. I'd say, no, that's not of God, I don't want it, but that thing left, that spirit of alcohol left, and I knew that it would come to me and it would say, I'm going to destroy you and your family, and I'm going to make you dead, because all my family has committed suicide, my dad, my uncles, and all those guys, and I just thought there's no hope for him, and I just prayed, Lord, give me hate for it, and he gave me such a hate for it, and he delivered me so mightily of that thing, he just delivered me for less. And when I was a maid, I'd find a bottle of wine, I said, no, and I just dumped it real fast, because I knew, you know, the danger in that, and along with that thing, when the alcohol would come, if those of you know me, I had an unsaved boyfriend when I got saved, and for 4 years, I held on to him. For 4 years, those of you who have unsaved boyfriends, it's not worth it. That spirit of alcohol, if you were drinking, will come to you and say, it's okay, do it this way. No, you can do this. Nobody will know. It's okay. No, don't worry about that. No, don't worry. You won't be condemned. I'll cover it up for you. Nobody will ever know. It'll be fine. And I tell you, it's so good to be free from that. And about a month ago, this friend, quote unquote, called me and said he had to talk to me. I thought, well, maybe he'll get saved, you know. And I thought for sure that was what was hindering me. And all the times I would date here, you know. But I walked away going, that. And he goes, I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. I go, yes, you're going to miss the rapture. And I walked away just going, that. And I knew now that was not my problem in dating, that wasn't my problem. But my problem was I just needed to be free to love. And as God showed me the spirit of alcohol and what it had planned and set me free tonight, the Holy Ghost. I had the joy of the Holy Ghost and the wine come in. And I couldn't wait to die to self. I just said, amen, Lord. And I just want to give God glory. And for those of you out there who are hanging on to unsafe boyfriends, they're not willing. Just give it up. Give it up. 4 years of total torment. I thought, I'll be a lousy heathen, be a lousy Christian. I can't give up this, and this. And I would throw my Isaac on the altar and make a deal to God. Well, I give my Isaac to God. You got to give him back. And I had to repent. And he didn't have to give him back. He knows what I need. And I just want to give God the glory tonight because, hallelujah, I'm going to have a man full of the Holy Ghost, filled with the new wine, loving Jesus. And the other night when I got prayed for with the spirit of lust, it said, she's got pictures. And I'll throw them away because I've gone through all my pictures and I had these pictures of him. I thought, I can't throw this away. No, come on, don't be a legalist. Come on. And I would stare at him. I thought, what am I doing? My friend Danny was going, lead a lost for deliverance. I go, no, I haven't. I look away. I have not. And when I got prayed for, I thought, I went right home, didn't even relook at him. I just dumped him in the basket. I said, amen, Lord, I am free. And you know, during the night, that thing, I felt that thing during the whole night. Angels were around me, not every area of lust that ever came to me. I felt it leave every part of my body. I am totally free of those areas. And you know, I just got started. And I just give God glory tonight.
I am so thankful tonight for what God has given us and this man we have here that we call our pastor. Because I went a few years ago when Star Wars first came out, I went to see it not knowing what it was all about. And about 2 weeks before I graduated from high school this year, we had our regular youth service, and Mr. Slominski said, if any of you are desperate, please come down and let me pray for you. And I thought, oh, Lord, I've had this area since my childhood, and I'm really getting to the point where I think I'm never going to get delivered. I'm hopeless. And I went to him, and I prayed with him, and he says, you know, you're about this far from getting delivered. And I thought, oh, thank you. And then the next night, a Sunday, I went home after service. I went to bed, and I was sleeping, and all of a sudden, just in my sleep, I started to pray, God, help me. I can't take this no more. God, help me. And I started to cry, and I woke up, and I saw demonic manifestation, and it wasn't like dogs or anything, it was Yoda, which is a part of Star Wars. you know, and he was surrounding there, and he was just leering at me, like, you're never going to get delivered. You're going to have this all your life. And I'm going, oh, and I started to get really scared, and I started rebuking it. And after that, snakes, cobras in full hood, crawled under my door and surrounded me. And it's, that really scared me, because I have a fear of snakes as it is, but this is really bad. And at one point, I felt like one had reached out with its fang and touched my back as if to say, we're going to get you, and we're going to destroy you. And I started to rebuke that, and pretty soon that disappeared, and then it was, you know, they alternated in and out, and then they just sat in front of me, alternating themselves all around me, and it was all I could do to get my robe on and crawl out of my room and get my brother and say, and I told him, I said, Mike, I feel like I'm being attacked by Satan, go get Mom. And he went and he says, Mom, my own's being attacked, and she came out and prayed with me, and she couldn't figure out what was wrong, because I don't get upset over nightmares. I know what they are. And we prayed about it, and the next night I went down and I got delivered. I tell you, God did such a work in my life that night, because I was so scared of that thing. It's not you're scared like you go on rides or something. I was terrified. And I said, Lord, I can't have this no more. It's been here since childhood, and it's really bothered me. I can't have it. So we prayed about that. When we were through, Chuck Kerr, who was praying for me, says, my mom, were there any hurts in your life that might have caused this? And I thought about it, and I says, yeah, there was. And he says, have you forgiven the person that caused that? I looked at him, and I said, have I what? He says, have you forgiven the person that caused that? And I thought, no, I haven't forgiven him. I hadn't even thought about it, because I didn't realize I needed to do that. And I did that. And, you know, I am so free. I am free to make the changes that are going to separate my past life from now. I was scared to now before, because I didn't want to hurt this other person's feelings. But I know now that if I'm ever going to be totally set free, I have to make that cut off, and I'm going to do it. I just praise God. And thank you, Pastor.
You know, as messy as this deliverance is, in a way, it's so wonderful that God is setting his people free. This has given a new hope to the church, because people were saying, I don't know how to overcome. I know what the Bible says. I struggle. I pray. I make dedication. That thing's right back on me. How many years do I go on this way? And it's been good that God is revealing to us there's a certain power that has overtaken people that you remember when Jesus told the disciples, he gave them power to go out and cast out demons. And they were casting out demons. They had to have power to do so. But a certain one would not go out. He was a stronger demon. It took more than just the power that they had and the amount of prayer that they were bringing forth under God. Christ could cast them out. The perfect Son could. The one who was obedient unto all things could. The one who had given himself up totally, he could. The one who had an unbroken rapport with the Father, he could. He said, this kind cometh not but by prayer. The King James says, and fasting, but the Greek says, this is prayer. Well, they prayed. Well, how did Jesus do it? Well, he prayed. They prayed, but he prayed. And we're finding out that these are powerful forces. And it isn't just a matter of somebody, some exorcist, saying some magic words over you, kind of opposite words of abracadabra. It's a place of people becoming willing in their hearts. Some people go through ferocious battles. Others, they go fast and easy. A lot depends upon what kind of inroads they've made. Who is there? What kind of stand have you taken? What kind of faith you have? Whether you're believing God, whether you've been breaking up the ground, whether you've come to the cross, whether you're taking a definite stand, whether you are afraid of them, or whether you come right on and you're coming against this thing, or whether only in the spirit you want to get rid of them. So much depends on your attitude and relationship and faith and commitment, your sellout to God. These are real forces. They're coming in these days. But God is delivering his people. I got this piece of paper, deliverance diary, with a deliverance team badge on the front of it. I pushed it out and said, how can the person send the badge back in? And I didn't know what they were going to say about that. And it was all wrinkled and torn out, you know, all torn, all crushed. And then I read on this thing that the deliverance worker was getting prayed for deliverance too. And this demon in her caused her to reach up and grab that thing and to tear it to shreds right on her. Now, I'm sure that wasn't something that we just expected of him. And so she's asked for a new name tag. This thing didn't like her praying for deliverance, and it was wanted to shame the deliverance leader, but she got rid of that spirit. Some fantastic things are happening. I'll read you just a few of the reports I got in, and then I'm going to ask Lanny to share a little bit and some of the other team leaders. Don't know what time we're going to quit here tonight, and you can go home whenever you want. Is that fair enough? You know where the door is over there, and there's two over there, a couple in the back. So if you have to leave, why, you know your time schedule. We won't go on long, but we'll go on for a while. I was delivered of a spirit that called itself Queen of the Witches, which came into my life as I went deep into witchcraft and spiritualism. Boy, I tell you, when I read this, I am so glad I was brought up by Pentecostal parents that love Jesus. You know, I've never taken a drop of alcohol in my life. I never touched a cigarette to my lips. I've never went to a dance. I've never gambled, not even at the Puyallup Fair, on these dimes and nickels. I had never cursed. I've never sworn. I never used drugs. And then I begin to read this kind of stuff, witches and all kinds of, oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. I never went through this kind of stuff, you know. I'm just thank God for godly parents that protected us children. We're all walking with the Lord, praise God. You know, children. I used to have the Satanic Bible by Anton DeLavie, and one night I dreamed I was laying on an altar and hooded figures carrying candles marched chanting around me. I believe this was the point where I was betrothed to Satan and the witch queen came in because I actually surrendered my life to Satan at this time because I had spirits of loneliness and rejection by God at the time of my baby's death. So she felt that, you know, God rejected her. This witch queen demon led in spirits of disgust and repulsion towards men, and I had hurt by men and no need of men because this witch, she had demon called hurt by men and no need of men.